Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, come on. Fields. He's got through. 35. 30.
Water in the end zone. Caught. Close. Intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Good afternoon, everybody. I am John Schmelk. He is Lance Mehta with you for the next 1 hour plus, and we will continue to go past 1 o'clock if we keep getting calls, folks, to talk about the New York Football Giants free agency and everything going on around the National Football League. Lance, we have all the official signings in the books, everything everybody wanted to talk about yesterday. We can talk about today, thank goodness. So, newest Giants, let's go through it. Number one, Shane Vereen's the big name that everybody knows. Comes here as a running back that is an excellent third down back, can catch footballs, can pass protect, can make moves and get yards in space like we saw in the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks, a big key to the Patriots' win in that game and making that big comeback. Shane Vereen, a nice compliment to Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams.
Had 11 receptions in the Super Bowl, as you just touched on, John. That was a new Super Bowl record. And when you look at Ben McAdoo's offense, part of that offense, a big staple, is getting rid of the football quickly and trying to get playmakers out in open space. To me, Shane Vereen is an ideal fit for this system. And the Giants, in the years where they have flourished on the ground, and even the years where they've been in the middle of the pack, John, they have always liked to rely on multiple running backs. So you have built a balance with Rashad Jennings as well as Andre Williams. Shane Vereen could very well be the third piece. And let's not forget, there are a few other guys in the mix, too. They just re-signed Chris Obanaya as well.
And I know I've said in the past, before free agency started, that I thought there was a little bit of a redundancy in Vereen's skill set and Jennings. And I still think to a certain extent there might be, only to the point where both guys pass protect well and both guys have excellent hands. However, Vereen is a little bit more of an explosive player to me. I mean, just look at his size and his stature. He's a smaller running back than Jennings. He's a more accomplished receiver, has done it more. And quite frankly, Rashad Jennings has never been, you know, even a 1A back for a full 16 games. He was injured a lot last year. And I think Vereen, if Jennings happens to get hurt again, can be that perfect third down complement to Andre Williams if he becomes the 1A guy. So I think in those ways, the Vereen signing really makes a lot of sense.
Plus, he's excellent at pass protection.
Yep.
And Rashad Jennings is very strong in that category, too. So the fact that they not just complement one another, but have similar styles in the event that one gets hurt, you at least have an insurance policy. And Rashad Jennings battled some injuries last season. So if Andre Williams could be considered that big bulk back who you use on the goal line and can run in between the tackles, then you can work Jennings and Vereen in respectively in terms of the receiving game as well as pass protection when you have maybe some of those lengthy third downs and you need to buy Eli Manning more time.
And I had a chance to talk to Shane Vereen yesterday. You can check out that interview on Giants.com. They were really running the guys through here very quickly yesterday. They had to go through their signings, get physicals. We got a few minutes with all but one of the Giants free agent additions, so check out those interviews on Giants.com. They are there. So make sure you check those interviews out when you have a second. Signing number two I want to touch on is JT Thomas, a linebacker from Jacksonville. He started 10 games last year after Paul Posluszny got injured. Played primarily middle linebacker for them. But talking to him yesterday, he made it absolutely clear that he's more than capable and willing, and he has practiced at those positions to play both outside spots, Will and Sam. And he, just judging by his stature, isn't as thick or as big as a John Beeson. His main characteristic that he described to me as being his strength is speed. He's a guy that can get sideline to sideline. He causes turnovers, had 2 interceptions and 2 forced fumbles last year, played a good game against the Giants. Wonder if that had something to do with the Giants going after him. And I think he does two things, Lance. I think, one, he's that insurance to John Beeson that we've talked about all offseason long that the Giants had to have. And quite frankly, I could very easily see a situation this year where if Beeson stays healthy, Beeson's a starter in the middle, and you have Devon Kennard on one side and you have JT Thomas on the other, and those are your three starting linebackers.
Well, this was JT Thomas's breakout campaign, John. The fact that he actually got a great deal of starting experience. Paul Posluszny, the veteran who started his career off with the Buffalo Bills and then went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, he goes down in week four, and then JT Thomas takes over, and he did certainly make a mark in the Giants game later in the season. He essentially set career highs in just about every statistical category. He also had 84 tackles. He had 5 passes defense, which means that you can also throw him back in coverage. So that's another added versatility to the style of play that he brings to the table. And the fact that he can be thrown into multiple linebacker positions is something that the Giants will use to take advantage of, because John Beeson obviously has had trouble staying healthy. McClain you can utilize in the middle. You can also utilize him on both sides. You have Devon Kennard. JT Thomas is another guy in the mix, especially when you take into consideration Jaquan Williams is a free agent. So if they were to lose another linebacker, here's another guy that could be thrown into the mix who has a variety of starting experience, and he also has experience coming into games to replace players. And that's the type of player you want, given some of the injuries that the Giants have had to deal with.
And another linebacker the Giants brought in, Jonathan Casillas. He comes over from the New England Patriots, known primarily as a special teams player, did play a little bit on defense last year, but he can be one of those great depth guys at linebacker and be one of those core special teamers, and Giant fans have talked about it all offseason long. They want to get the special teams better, Lance, and I think bringing a guy in like Casillas will go a long way towards helping those special teams.
Well, I think the Giants addressed special teams with two of their signings, and we get to Dwayne Harrison a little bit. That was number one in terms of what he brings to the return game as well as coverage, and Jonathan Casillas, the name that you just threw out, this is a player that was a part of two Super Bowl teams. He won one with the Saints in his first year in the league in 2009, then he wins again last season with the Patriots, so he and Shane Vereen were teammates in New England. He was traded last year, middle of the year, right around the trade deadline from Tampa Bay. So he's been with a few teams during the course of his career. The fact that he has experience at linebacker and has experience at special teams, it's another one of those jack-of-all-trades type of players that the Giants can take full advantage of. Because, you know, John, if you're not a starter, one of your main contributions has to come on special teams. And the Giants have had some of those players. A Mark Herzlich, for example, who they just re-signed. He's a linebacker, but he also, his true value has been his contributions on special teams. Casillas can, I think, fit right into that mold.
And now, let's go to the other signing on special teams, but also on the offensive side of the ball, and that's Dwayne Harris. He comes in as, once again, a core special teamer, plays every single special teams, kick coverage, kick return, punt coverage, punt return. He's the return guy in both those packages. Didn't have a score last year. You know, slowed down a little bit, but he's still an elite returner in this league. He's a gunner on punts.
Yeah.
He's coverage on kickoffs. He does a little bit of everything. And the one description I've always heard about him, Lance, is, and I said this on yesterday's show, he's a football player. He likes the physicality. He likes to hit. He likes to tackle. One of the best blocking wide receivers in the league. And I think Giant fans will love watching this guy play. Tom Coughlin's going to love Dwayne Harris as a player. And finally, I think he can do a little bit more than he did in Dallas as a wide receiver. Simply because in Dallas, whether it was Dez Bryant or Jason Witten or even DeMarco Murray, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, he didn't have a chance to be a big part of that passing game. I think given more opportunities here, he could be a weapon as a wideout for the Giants as well.
Well, and he's also going to add a great deal of depth to the wide receiver core, John, that we've talked about multiple times on this program, continues to grow with one playmaker after another. And I'm not just talking about the Victor Cruzes, the Odell Beckhams, and the Reuben Randles, just some of the complementary pieces who have had experience in this system. Marcus Harris is another name who was hurt last season. Don't forget about him. You add Dwayne Harris. You have Kevin Ogletree, Corey Washington. There's going to be a great deal of competition come this offseason. In terms of what Dwayne Harris could bring to the table from a special teams perspective, as John mentioned, his gunner numbers, to me, jump right off the page, more so than his dynamic ability in terms of the return game. He led the Dallas Cowboys in special teams tackles last season with 18, and then in 2013, he had 12, which was tied for second. So it's not a fluke. He's been up there atop of his respective team year in and year out, his aggressiveness. And then let's not forget, the Giants also have Zach Bowman, who's also been used as the gunner. So now you have a little bit more depth to toy with at that position.
And one other sign the Giants made yesterday, Marshall Newhouse, an offensive lineman. He has played left tackle. He has played right tackle, played for the Packers, played for the Bengals last year. And he's another guy, Lance, where you're trying to get depth at the offensive line position. And look, we saw last year with all the injuries early, with Jeff Schwartz going down It's Chris Knee having to retire. The Giants needed depth on the offensive line, and Newhouse is somebody they think can provide depth at both tackle spots.
Well, he could be that swing tackle, and the Giants have had a player like that before. So this is a player you could use at right tackle. You could use him at left tackle. He's been with the Green Bay Packers. He had two seasons where he was the main starter. Then they moved him around. He became sort of that swing tackle. He went to Cincinnati last season, started a few games, filled in for Andre Smith, one of their top tackles who went down. So, you know, similar to a player like JT Thomas, Marshall Newhouse, he understands what it takes to be a starter in this league. He also understands what it takes in the event of an injury to come in and try to fill the void, fill the gap. And you need players like that who are going to provide additional depth. And one of the things that was a prevalent storyline with respect to the Giants last season was unfortunately the injury bug. And it hit the Giants in a variety of different positions. This is where the value of the players that the Giants brought in over the last few days is going to pay off. If you lose potentially a starter, you can have somebody to slide in. And some of these players are going to be competing for starting jobs themselves. So, you know, you can't necessarily look at these are just compliments. These guys are certainly going to be in the mix, and they're going to get their share of opportunities.
We mentioned it at the end of yesterday's show that Mark Herzlich and Henry Hanoski also agreed to terms with the Giants. And we should also bring up the Giants announced that Tom Coughlin has been extended 1 year, which is not a huge surprise. It's something the Giants have done before. Based on what Coach Coughlin said at the Combine, it's something that kind of had been hinted at already. So that becomes official by the Giants yesterday as well. Let's get to the calls, folks. 201-939-4513. I know you're anxious to talk to us about these free agent signings. Let's get to them and start chatting with you. Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, what's going on, pal?
John Lance, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well, Omar. Doing how are you, Omar? Pal?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call. I got two quick comments on free agency, and then I've got a question for you about the draft.
Sure.
All right, I wanted to start by talking about Shane Vereen. I love this signing for the Giants. You know, when you look at the Super Bowl, you could argue that he was the MVP in certain respects by having 11 receptions in that game. And what I really love about his game and what he can bring to the Giants is that as a quick hitter out of the backfield, you could see in the Super Bowl he was able to neutralize that Seahawks defense and their aggressiveness because, you know, when you attack like that, having him come out of the backfield is another aspect in which they have to prepare for. And I think when you're talking about the Giants and the struggles in the offensive line, you know, having that guy to come out of the backfield, right, it kind of slows the defense down and makes them think twice before they attack on the blitz. So I think he's going to be a really big factor for us. I'm excited about it. And I think it's going to be a great addition going into next year. Really what we would have liked to have from David Wilson. So, you know, I think this is a good move for us going forward.
And real quickly, I think you make some excellent points, and I think you lost some of that when Jennings got hurt last year and Andre Williams was still developing as a receiver on those third down plays. And having Green to step in next year will certainly give Ben McAdoo another weapon in that short passing game.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The second comment on free agency was about Marshall Newhouse.
Yes.
Now, you know, this is not a tackle that I guess, you know, is going to blow everybody away as a bona fide left tackle, but I like the fact that he can swing on both ends. And then the thing is, I think when I look at the history, him and Ben McAdoo were both at the Packers at the same time. Am I correct?
That's correct. You got it.
So I think where he benefits us is that he can come in and learn the system pretty quickly as far as the transition because he's had experience with Ben before, as opposed to maybe, you know, a young tackle out of the draft that, you know, will take some time to get up to the NFL speed. So, you know, like I said, it doesn't shore everything up 100%, but I definitely like the direction, and I'm sure Ben McAdoo had a little bit of something to do with that signing because he had some, you know, personal experiences with Marshall. So I'm excited to see what he can come in and do and help with.
Now, you know what? You need depth of tackle, and he's a guy that's played both sides, somebody that's played both sides and is as young as Marshall Newhouse is, still in his, you know, mid-20s, is something that's hard to find. And, you know, it's somebody that'll provide very good and valuable depth. I appreciate the call, Omar. Thank you.
You look at a guy like Kevin Booth, the Giants have always had that versatile offensive line, and that's been a big staple of this team over the last few years, and Newhouse could become that guy who, in a pinch, you could rotate him side to side in the event that you have to deal with an injury in some capacity.
Now, we should bring up two other items. One, Adam Schefter filed to ESPN. DeMarco Murray en route now to Philly, which we knew already. He's supposed to meet with them this afternoon. And he is expected to sign with the Eagles. Now, the report earlier today said that Murray would be willing to accept a late in the game offer from Dallas, but the Cowboys have been very obstinate here. They have not wanted to up their offer. So the Eagles come in with a $7 million contract offer here. That's going to be his best money offer, and that means DeMarco Murray could be going to the Eagles, which, you know, we talked about it yesterday, I think would be a great fit down there. I think he's a workhorse back that Chip Kelly would really love to have, and we'll see if they also sign Ryan Matthews, who was reported to sign with them yesterday. So we'll see how that goes down for Philadelphia.
Well, there was some speculation. I saw some reports earlier today that Ryan Matthews hadn't necessarily signed his deal yet because he may be worried that DeMarco Murray will come in and be the starting running back. So he may want to look elsewhere for a few more carries.
And then Dallas will have to figure out what they're going to do at the running back position. Not a whole lot of guys left on that market. Justin Forsett's still out there, and they'll, I'm sure, watch very closely what happens with Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings in the draft class strong at the running back position as well. And we didn't mention it off the top. Anshar Roll signs with the Bears, posts a very nice message on Instagram last night to all the Giants fans and the people that work here, that he so loves New York, will always be a New Yorker. He literally has an NY tattooed on his chest, and, you know, he'll always be a part of Giants tradition. So it was a pleasure to have Anshar here. He was a good player, excellent guy to work with, a great leader, smart football guy, always fun to talk to. He will be missed, but as it always is, Lance, and I think the comparison that a lot of people are making is a good one. With Justin Tuck last year, the Giants would have loved to have Anshar roll back, but not at the price that he signed with in Chicago. It was reported something like 3 years, 11 and change, for that contract with the Bears. And it was just a number, whether you agree with it or not, the Giants were not willing to go to bring Anshar roll back. So safety's still a priority now in free agency, trying to bring in a veteran with some experience to complement Nat Burhey and Cooper Taylor.
And we always said that safety was going to be a position to watch this offseason, given the fact that Anshar Roll is a free agent, as well as Stevie Brown, Quinton Demps. It was going to certainly be a position to keep close tabs on, and there are a few notable free agents still on the market, and the Giants could very well re-sign a few guys who were in the mix last year. Nat Burhey is still a he's a very young guy who, given more opportunities, can thrive. And Cooper Taylor, you know, the big issue with him is, can he stay healthy? He's been a part of the Giants system, and he was expected to have a bigger role heading into this season. Unfortunately, he gets hurt during the course of preseason and training camp, and he had to be put on IR. But, you know, that's a player, if he can finally get that injury bug away from him, you know, he could very well take advantage of his opportunities.
Let's go back to the phones. Rod is in Virginia next. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at noon. Rod, what's going on, pal?
Hey, this is Rod, and I just want to say hey, Lance, and hey, John.
Hi, Rod.
How you doing, Rod?
I just want to make some comments, and then I want to have another comment about the draft. And I wanted to say that I think we made a little bit of a mistake letting go of the safety position there, because if we remember, we had some big plays by Stevie Brown and by Anshar Roll. Anshar Roll's a hard hitter that can go out there and catch the ball. So I feel like we kind of made a mistake by letting the safeties go. And I think we should have made a push for Frank Gore a little bit more. I think Shane Vereen was a good fit for our system, the way he goes out there and catches the ball on third down. And I think it's awesome how he catches the ball, and we needed that, because that Dallas game against New York, where we lost the game because Rashad Jennings got stopped at the yard line, I think, because we could have went to the playoffs if we would have won that game. And I was saying, I don't think we need a wide receiver, because I know there was rumors out there about us getting Amari Cooper out of Alabama. So I was saying that I don't think we need a wide receiver, because we got Cruz and Odell Beckham, still a great player. I just think we need to get that offensive line beefed up, so when we run the ball, we don't have to have Eli throwing it too many times out there.
Thank you, Rod. Great call.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. I see Tino's getting some young converts to his offensive line plan.
Yeah.
He's reaching the younger audience. This is big for Tino. A couple things on what Rod said. One, Frank Gore, I don't like signing running backs that are over 30 years old. I mean, you got teams leery of signing DeMarco Murray. He's 26. You know, Frank Gore has a lot of mileage on his legs, maybe more than any other running back in football at this point, to be quite honest with you, the number of carries he's had over the years. And I think he's a little redundant to what they already have in Andre Williams in terms of being that power between the tackles type of back. I think Vereen's a better fit in terms of what the Giants needed.
Well, he's also going to a team where he's not going to have to be the workhorse, and that's the ideal fit for a guy like Frank Gore. And if you look at his numbers, the last few years he hasn't been used as much of a wide receiver in San Francisco as he did early in his career. I think the Giants have a nice balance with the personnel they have in the backfield, so it really would essentially be a duplication, and they'd be better off using that money and that cap space to address some other areas. In terms of the offensive line, if this group could stay healthy, you know, you have some options. They brought in Marshall Newhouse as a backup, and, you know, perhaps they may change a few guys in terms of where they're aligned on the offensive line. Another guy that, you know, we talked about earlier this offseason, Brett Jones, who they signed from the Canadian Football League. Don't forget about him. He was brought in earlier this offseason. So based on the last caller's sentiments, I mean, they are addressing the depth chart in the offensive line. It's just a matter of finding the right mix and the right guys that are going to work together as one unit.
There still seems to be one starting slot that's open. Since J.D. Walton was let go, you know, you have Pugh. You have Beattie. Theoretically, your two tackles, though Pugh can move inside. Richburg is going to be your center. Schwartz is healthy. He's going to be at right guard. Theoretically, he can be a right tackle, too, and you can move Pugh inside. So there still seems to be one hole at guard that needs to be filled. Now, maybe they think Brandon Mosley can move inside and fill that role. He played there a lot in the preseason last year. But whether they bring somebody in or not, there's still an unknown quantity as to who that fifth starter on the offensive line is, and the Giants will have to figure that out. Very quickly, Rod brought up the safety position. And, Rod, the thing about it, and I know you're disappointed that role's not back, and remember, Stevie Brown's still a free agent. Who knows where he's going to end up? Maybe he can wind up back with the Giants. We don't know that. They want to get younger. And onshore role's on the wrong side of 30. And you always have to be leery of signing players that are 30 years or older. So I think what the Giants will try to do now is get a younger veteran in his mid to early late 20s, you know, 26, 27, and have that guy be here for a while to play safety for them.
And as we mentioned, I mean, we don't know. They could bring back Stevie Brown, and they could bring back Quinton Demps. Those guys are still on the market. So, you know, when people start saying, oh, well, I don't like what they're doing at the safety position, there's still free agents out there, and there's still their own free agents that are out there. Antrel Roll is the only one that has definitively signed with the Chicago Bears that obviously came out last night.
More Schefter. Dallas now calling around for other running backs. Cowboys know they've lost DeMarco Murray to the Eagles. 201-939-4513. So the Giant fans get DeMarco Murray off of the Cowboys, but now they get a deal with him in Philadelphia.
So he's not leaving the division.
At least LeSean McCoy didn't wind up in Dallas. That would have just been a, you know, swap of the worst. Exactly.
Correct.
201-939.
Well, and the other thing real quickly is LeSean McCoy actually went to a team that the Giants are playing this season anyway. They have Buffalo on the schedule, so they're essentially not avoiding LeSean McCoy this
year. You know what? It's actually funny. Some of the biggest moves have been with teams that the Giants are going to play next year. Revis to the Jets. Sue to the Dolphins.
Correct.
McCoy to the Bills. Welcome back.
That's why we were talking about all of these moves to start off the program, because they are somehow related to what the Giants are going to have to deal with at some point this season.
Let's go to Vic in Florida. Vic, you're up next. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, John and Lance?
Doing well, Vic. How are you?
I had a question and a statement.
Sure.
But you just answered my question. I feel very bad about Antrel Roll. And I hope they can find somebody that will, you know, fill in his shoes, or even better. But anyway, it's done. And the statement that I have, I'm very happy with Shane Vereen and Harris. I don't know too much about the other guys, but Vereen, I love him. And he's going to give the Giants a big boost, believe me. It's all I really have. I'm just waiting patiently for some more, you know, hammers to drop to see what happens. And hope the Giants will be okay for 2015. So Lance and John, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate the call, Vic. Hey, look, thanks so much for weighing in.
Hey, look, we talked about needs already. All offseason long, Lance, we talked about needs. And what were some of the things on our list? All right, you have to get better up front, running the ball and stopping the run. Now, they haven't addressed the offensive line besides Marshall Newhouse yet. I'm sure we'll see more action there, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. So that is kind of a to-be-determined type of situation. On the defensive line, Not a lot of activity, but they brought in two linebackers that presumably could help you stop the run. What are some other needs we talked about? A third down back, Shane Vereen, perfect fit. We talked about getting a guy in here for John Beeson that can be a security blanket in case he does, in fact, get hurt. Boom, JT Thomas, you're good. People talked about improving the special teams. Dwayne Harris, boom. All those people that wanted Odell Beckham out as the Giants punt returner. Well, you're going to have your wish. Dwayne Harris will fill that role for them this year. So the Giants have targeted some of the things they needed to target this offseason. Are they done? No. We're only 3 days into free agency. Got plenty of time here. And as this weekend kind of works its way through, that's when you're going to see some guys going for bigger bargains. As someone tweeted the other day, it was one of the NFL reporters, I forget who, and he's 100% right, and we've said it. Anybody that signed in the last 3 days generally is going to be overpaid. It's just the nature of the business and how it works. To get the guys this early in free agency, you're going to have to pay an extra few bucks.
Well, and there's more competition out there right now.
Especially the top guys. That's just how it goes. So the Giants moving forward still have work to do. They know that, and they will continue to work to get this team better.
Only about 50-some-odd free agents have been signed compared to hundreds of guys that are on the market this season. So while I know a lot of people are watching the big names fall piece by piece and the dominoes are falling with them, at the same time, there's a number of players that are quality talent that is still out there, especially at the safety position and especially at a few other positions. So it's still very early in the game. And even if you look at what the Giants did last offseason, John, you know, early in the game, they signed a few guys, and then, you know, as the weeks progressed, they still brought in some other free agents, especially a player like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. So you never know what's going to develop, especially as we get into the heart of free agency. We're not even into the heart of free agency. We're only a few days in at this point.
201-939-4513, and I'm trying to see if there's any more context to this, but apparently Ryan Matthews left the Eagles facility 5 minutes ago. No word on whether or not that's with a signed contract or not. So that'll be interesting to see if they have both guys there with Sproles, which to me, especially if you're paying Murray what you would think they would pay Murray to get him away from the Cowboys, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to, you know, give, you know, $3-4 million a year to Ryan Matthews too. So my guess is that Matthews is not going to be with Philadelphia, and they'll use that DeMarco Murray-Darren Sproles combination. And,
which means that Philadelphia has had quite an offseason. Frank Gore and Ryan Matthews nearly in Philadelphia uniforms.
And again, we'll see what happens now as the Cowboys try to negotiate that running back position, if they can work something out with the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. But again, the Vikings don't have to trade Peterson, and the Cowboys don't want to pay Murray $7 million. Why'd they want to pay an older running back and Adrian Peterson $11 million, which is what his contract calls for? So everyone's been talking about that all offseason. I don't see it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I think it depends on if the Vikings were to release Adrian Peterson, which is a possibility.
That's what would have to happen.
He'd become a free agent.
Absolutely.
And then perhaps, considering he's a Texas native, it's not just about the money, it's about location, geography, and family. That could be a factor. Or if Dallas does have to pull off a trade, I mean, you're not going to have to just worry about absorbing his contract. You're going to have to give up some assets to Minnesota as well. So, you know, there's a lot of different situations that could play out. For all we know, they bring in another back, as you alluded to earlier in the day, that is just a good fit for what their offensive line could produce, because that was the one area that they certainly looked to address over the last few drafts.
And that's what the Cowboys are betting on, that the offensive line made the running back, and the running back didn't make the offensive line. 201-939-4513. Back to the Giants. Dan in the Poconos is next, but we like to keep an eye on the NFC East. Obviously, that impacts the Giants a lot heading into 2015. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Love your show.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Dan.
Usually listen to you every night. I'm calling from work, but love the moves we're making. I mean, they're, like you just touched on, they're definitely you know, hitting our needs, and we just got to have some patience, you know, like you were saying. And you know, I think the Giants fans are getting a little pumped with these signings. It's definitely good news. But I'll tell you one thing, I just frustrating me beyond belief.
What's that?
Why, and I know you guys are going to roll your eyebrows when I bring this up, because I know you really can't, I don't think you have any new information on this, but I just don't understand why we can't get the Eli thing done. I mean, the only thing I can think of, because obviously we could use the money for the free agency right now, we don't need the money after everyone's gone. The only thing I could think of, because we're pretty certain that Eli wants to finish his career here.
Right.
Fishes and the Maras have said, hey, Eli's our man, and everyone knows that this guy's got plenty left in the tank.
Right.
So the only thing I can think of is the Giants must be content with the amount of money that they have during this free agency. Otherwise, they would get it done, wouldn't they? It's just mind-boggling.
Well, Dan, to me, if you want to go through the progression logically, and I think you set it up there well, so let's take the next step. The Giants say to Eli, we want you here. Eli says to the Giants, well, I want to be here. Well, then what's the next thing you do? You discuss years. You discuss money. Now, maybe there's a little bit of a disagreement on exactly how many years the Giants want to keep Eli here with a lot of money and how many years Eli wants. Maybe there's some disagreement on the amount of money per year and the guaranteed money that Eli wants and the amount of money the Giants want to offer. Now, I don't no idea if that's true or not. But like you said, there has to be something that's keeping the two sides from coming together. And generally, those are two of the things that you discuss when you negotiate a contract. So more than likely, it's one of those two things if you look at it logically. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. I mean, you look at all these internet reports, nobody's reported anything on this. So I think you bring up a good question. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't. But logically, when you just discuss contracts, those are usually the two things that come into the equation, right? So my guess is that it's one of those two things.
Well, Dan, the other thing that I'll throw into the equation is, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, who came into the same draft via Eli Manning. Keep in mind, you know, he's entering the final year of his contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's due an extension. Steelers front office has made public statements that they want to negotiate a new deal, and we're at the same boat, and they have yet to come to an agreement. So, you know, oftentimes quarterbacks like to look at what other quarterbacks are doing around the league to determine where they want to go with their future contracts. As John mentioned, it's a little give, it's a little take, but considering there hasn't been movement around the league with other quarterbacks that are in similar situations to Eli Manning, I don't think the Giants are behind at this point unless all of a sudden we see five or six guys hammer out deals, and then you would assume Eli would be the next guy in line.
Right, and that's interesting about the Roethlisberger thing. I didn't realize that. That's definitely interesting. Yeah, I just wish they would get it done already, you know. I know I speak for a lot of people.
I hear you. But you know, I mean, I think as you mentioned, Dan, Eli's been pretty much on the record saying he wants to finish his career with the Giants. So, I mean, if you're playing the worry game in your mind, I wouldn't really go down that road. I'm sure the Giants organization and Eli Manning are going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that they stay in this marriage throughout the duration of his career.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I could just touch on one more thing.
Yeah, real quick.
I wish Philly would have signed Gore. Right, that would have been good, and then he wouldn't have been looking for Murray.
Yeah, and you know what? I bet you Jerry Jones is sitting there. I wish the Eagles would have signed Frank Gore, too.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what one player could do. It basically affects all the other dominoes.
It's great, and that's the one good thing I'm going to take from it, how Jerry Jones feels about that signing. That's the one good thing from it. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
And it shows you how much either Jerry Jones is mellowed or how he's now being influenced by other people. Because in the past, I mean, you figure he's the guy that would have went all on Murray and given him. I mean, look how much they paid Marion Barber. He never had a half the year DeMarco Murray had. So things are definitely changing down there in Dallas and the way they do their business.
And, John, from a big picture perspective, and it relates to the Giants as well as every other team, what the Cowboys are going through is basically it's difficult to keep everybody, especially star power. Now, I remember the Dallas Cowboys, they gave Tony Romo a big contract. They just gave Dez the franchise tag. They're going to want to work out a long-term deal. They gave Tyron Smith, their left tackle, a long deal.
Sean Lee doesn't have a small contract.
Correct. So
neither does Witten.
At the end of the day, you know, you have to sacrifice players. Giants have dealt with it as well as every other 31 teams.
And that's why the NFL system is set up the way it is. They want to spread the talent out so dominant teams cannot remain dominant. You have to continue to recycle players, and that's the challenge that every NFL general manager is facing this year. Let's go to Derek down in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, you're up Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. What's going on, pal?
Hey, you guys look more relaxed today.
Well, Derek, we can actually stop talking in code, which is nice.
So what's happening, Derek? What's on your mind?
You know, I'm a little disappointed with Antrell Roll, you know, not being a Giant. You know, it's the contract that he got from the Bears, very reasonable. It didn't seem like that would break our cap or cost us any pain. I mean, to lose him over that amount of money just didn't seem to be really – didn't seem like the Giants really offered him anything. And the guy was making, what, $7 million? So $6 million? I mean, and now he's going to make, what, $3 million a year or $3.5 million? I mean, that's a restructure. I mean, if you asked him to take a pay cut to that, I'm sure he would have did it.
Well, I mean, isn't a matter of asking to take a pay cut? His contract was up, Derek. And look, I understand what you're saying, but clearly the Giants weren't willing to go to that financial level for Antrell Roll. I mean, if they were, maybe he'd be back here. I mean, odds are, I guess he probably would. He wanted to be back, but the Giants weren't willing to go there.
I understand that, John, because apparently he's not here and, he's gone, so I'm sure the Giants didn't.
Right.
That's all logical. But I just don't – I mean, it doesn't seem to be like the –
Well, Derek, keep in mind that we mentioned
this
at the beginning of the show. Didn't mean to cut you off. We'll let you continue. You know, last season they were in a similar circumstance with Justin Tuck, who was a veteran leader, a strong voice in the locker room, a well-respected individual within the organization, and he moved on to a different team as well. I mean, you could at least use that as a parallel. It's tough. It's very difficult to let go of players that have had such a profound impact on the team and everybody else connected to the team. An Antrell Roll, he fits into that profile. And you could tell the passion that he has about this organization if you had an opportunity to check out his Twitter account on social media. I mean, minutes after he signs with the Chicago Bears, he's still talking about his time with the Giants. So it was a very difficult decision for him as well as the organization. But, you know, can't emphasize enough. It's still very early in the game. For all we know, they bring in another two or three safeties.
The Colts had got Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, two good guys. And I tweeted him. I said, "Well, the Bears have got one good guy too." So
there you go.
You know, but with these linebackers, they signed Herzlick, and they said they're thinking about moving him over to weak side linebacker. That doesn't seem to be his, you know, fit there.
Well, Derek, last year, once they moved Herzlick outside, he played. From what I've seen from him as a Giant, his best football on the defensive side. So I think that's why they like him more on that outside linebacker spot. So his lack of speed sideline to sideline isn't as big of an issue when you're just playing the one side of that line.
But don't you have to be kind of fast on the weak side? I mean, strong side, I guess you can maybe get away with that. But on the weak side, I think you need a more athletic type of linebacker.
Well, honestly, these days, to be quite honest with you, the weak side, strong side, depending on the defense you're playing, the role isn't all that much different. It's just a matter of who you're asking to cover the tight end in coverage and who you're asking to stop the run, and they usually kind of adjust things that way. And remember, Perry Fuel's system is going to be different than
Correct.
C. Spagnuolo's system, too. So, trust me, they understand that Herzlick's strength is against the run, Derek, and they'll put him in positions where he can play to his strength. You're not going to see Herzlick chasing around Jason Wynn all over the field trying to cover him in the secondary. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. All right, last thing I have to say is that this JT Thomas, I watched his little cut-ups on YouTube, and the one thing I got out of it is he's one of those guys who gets the team rallied before the games. They look to him as a leader. He's a rah-rah guy type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that the Giants are getting rid of some leadership that, you know, maybe Beeson's not the only one that's going to be the kind of rah-rah, you know, leader type guy on our team. We need some of those guys, some of those people who's not afraid to, you know, rally the crowd before games.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, Derek. Don't forget, Jameel McClain's a pretty vocal guy, too, in the locker room. You know, it's not just John Beeson. I thought they brought in a number of guys last season that meshed well. Even Rashad Jennings, who is very interactive with the media, you could tell that a lot of his fellow teammates respect him as well, too, just from the pure interaction that we've seen up close and personal. I think there's a lot of guys, they may not necessarily show it on the field all the time, but there are a number of voices still in the locker room despite the loss of Antrell Roll.
201-939-4513. Now break some news here, too. I understand that C. Spagnuolo has reached out to you to see if you want to try to pump up the team before games.
Oh, really?
Is that true?
Well, as long as they don't stomp on top of me and let me live after that, I don't want to get them too worked up. You know, I do want to be able to walk off myself.
Well, I was planning on asking Jonathan Hankins to do just that.
Well, I'm sure you were. You were trying to eliminate me in any capacity as humanly possible.
Absolutely. 201.
I'm sure, you know, plus Dottino would love that role better than I would anyway. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm second in line when it comes to that. I'd have to fight him off to get that job first.
Sure. Well, maybe he could put you on his shoulders and he can carry in. And,
I don't know if I
want to
be
way.
In the vicinity of Paul Dottino's shoulders. I think I'll leave it at that.
Give him a better workout during his power walks.
Well, listen, he's got his own crafty maneuvers going for him. He doesn't need to utilize me in any capacity.
Bob on Long Island, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, our daily Giants call and talk show every weekday from 12 to 1. Bob, what's up, pal?
How you doing, John? How you doing, Lance?
Doing great, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, Bob. What's happening?
Oh, okay. Here we go. There's another year.
Yep.
And we're faced with the same problem as last year. We don't have that pass rush. We discussed that, and we don't have that safety, and we don't have the O line right.
Well, Bob, real quick, and I will let you go. I promise. I think the Giants are happier than most people are on the outside with where their pass rush is at. If Ayers comes back healthy, and there's no reason he shouldn't be, with JPP and DeMonte Moore, I think they believe they have some pretty good. Now, I'm not saying it's a great situation or it's a perfect situation now. I'm not. But I do think they believe they have some pretty good pass rushers in-house right now. They'd still like to compliment those guys, but I do think they believe they have some pretty good natural pass rushers in those three guys already on the team. Now, go ahead. I'll let you go. Sorry about that.
All right. I don't want to get bogged down with that, but
that's
we
fine.
Had those three guys last year, and our pass rush stunk.
It did stink, though. You were top 10 in sacks.
You can tell me where I'm going wrong.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. We ignored the pass rush last year. We didn't take Donald, defensive player of the year. I screamed bloody murder for him.
I know you did.
And we had the same problem this year. Okay. We loaded up on the back end. We went to build from the back to the forward, which is supposed to go forward back. Okay, we followed the trend of Seattle, and we did what New England did last year with Revis. We have Dallas twice this year. We have the Jets on our schedule. Now, a quick fix for this whole thing that will open things up. They got Revis, the Jets, and they have Scrine. They're going for Cromartie. We have to break the trend. We have Cromartie. We pick up Antonio Cromartie, the cousin.
Double Cromartie.
Wait a minute. Listen to this.
I am.
We pitch for him. He's got an easy 2 years left. He was fantastic last year. He's got 2 years left in the tank. We outbid the Jets. We break the mold. We love going for that 26, 27-year-old guy coming off the first contract. We got to break the mold this year. We got to overspend and grab the other Cromartie. We got bookends. Now we take care of Dez Bryant, because that's what he did on Arizona.
Bob, I just want to interrupt here, and I'll let you continue. Bob, you got DRC and you have Prince.
Honestly, I think Prince is a better player.
Why do you need another bookend?
Yeah, I honestly think Prince is better than Cromartie. Okay.
Then you can tell me where I'm going wrong.
Sure.
We have a problem at the safety position. Instead of putting out the Perry Fuel three safeties, we're going to put out four corners, okay? And then we solve the problem whenever we have a three-receiver set or four-receiver set. We got both Cromarties playing man up. We have Prince in the slot, and we have that other young guy that we had last year that did fine.
McBride.
On the fourth corner. Now we can blitz, which we never knew how to blitz, but that's another story. Now that pass rush, if we drafted a first round of pass rusher, we're home. We solve all our problems. Now, all we have is one safety. We just get one guy, a young guy in the third round, who can knock the snot out of somebody. that's all that role was doing last year, because he can't cover. He was a liability. I'm glad they let him go. He was a great Giant. We got the most out of him. Get a young guy.
Well, Bob, the other thing.
Hit like a tank.
Bob, the other thing you need to.
We don't need a center fielder.
No, but Bob, you have.
We're going to man up on these guys, and we're going to blitz, and we're going to come at them with a pass rush.
Okay,
Bob.
That's
how we have to play this game. Because everybody wants a small ball now. They're all on the West Coast.
Well, Bob, but let's look at the division. You also need to stop the run, and that has been an area of concern for the Giants over the last few seasons. You need to take that into consideration, too.
And if you're
going to go up against Murray, Alfred Morris.
That's where Hankins comes in. That's where JPP, all good run stoppers.
But you want your secondary to assist in that capacity as well.
And oftentimes you are going to use those safeties in the box. You remember what a great job Will Hill did here a couple years ago, dropping into that box, tackling, and doing a good job in supporting the running game.
That's
Bob.
What Hill did. But we're only going to need one of those guys. If most of these teams are going to the 3-4 wide receiver set, you need corners if you don't have a pass rush. And we don't have a pass rush.
No, Bob. See, look, Bob. I agree you need corners in this league. You're right about that. But, Bob.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yes. Finish up, Bob.
If we if we face the Jets and they have Cromartie, Revis, and Skrine on us, they're going to eliminate, they're going to Revis man up on Odell.
Good
He's eliminated. Cromartie's going to eliminate Randall, and Skrine's going to eliminate Cruz. We're going to be blitzed like crazy by the Jets.
That's why you brought in Shane Vereen and you have Rashad Jennings.
All right, Bob. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Bob. Thanks so much for
waiting. Appreciate the call, man. Now, look, a couple things on that. One, if they want to put Revis on an island with Odell Beckham, I like his chances. I'm not saying he's going to go for 175 yards on Revis, but he'll catch some balls. Remember what Odell Beckham did against Richard Sherman last year, okay? And we saw in the Super Bowl, Revis can be had.
Yeah.
He had a couple defensive penalties in that game, allowed a touchdown on that little official pick play. I'm not going to kill him on that like, you know, Richard Sherman was on the sideline. But look, I'll take Beckham one-on-one against any corner in the league, period, okay? And let's not make Buster Skrine out to be the second coming of Charles Woodson in his prime, okay? He's not. And Antonio Cromartie had a rough year last year with the Cardinals. He gave up a lot of big plays playing for that Cardinal defense. So, and he said you don't need a center field and you have great cornerbacks. That's not true, all right? If you play zero coverage in this league with no deep safety helping over the top, I don't care who your cornerbacks are. Guess what? You're going to struggle, and you're going to have problems, all right? So the Giants, at this point, need to have a center fielder back there that can help in pass coverage. You have absolutely no choice. It's a necessity. Every team has to have a guy that can help out there, and so do the Giants. It's no different. So as they move forward, that's something they're going to have to keep an eye on and make sure that they have back there in the secondary. You can't just line up corners and not have safety help. You have to have a safety to help you over the top. Because I don't care who your corners are. You're going to need help on Dez Bryant from time to time. You can't just man him up the whole game and rock and roll. You're going to need help. That's all I'm saying.
Seattle Seahawks, they have Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor to back up Maxwell and Sherman.
And if you don't think those guys help Richard Sherman, you're nuts.
Tremendously they help them. Absolutely. I mean, Chancellor's had a huge amount of hits, and so has Earl Thomas. You need your safeties. You can't just have this creative four-corner type of situation. Bob mentioned, you know, Buster Skrine. I'd personally take Buster Skrine. I think he's a better player than Buster Skrine, depending on how you want to pronounce his last name. But getting back to the point, Spags, as the defensive coordinator, John, you know, when everybody says they have no pass rush, with a new defense, how do we know that it's going to be the same thing over
and
again?
They finished, what, six in the league
they
last year?
They were definitely
in
up
sacks?
There in
And
sacks,
look,
yeah.
I know a lot of those sacks came at the end of the year, and at times was the pass rush certainly inconsistent. Take that second Dallas game. Absolutely. I'm not arguing with any of that. But to say their pass rush was terrible all year long is a fallacy. It wasn't.
Well, look at the sacks last season. JPP had 12 and a half. Jonathan Hankins had a career year. He actually finished the season with 7 sacks. So, you know, if he could continue to improve on those numbers, that is going to be extra penetration at the quarterback that you're getting from the interior, which is something that you necessarily can't rely on each and every season. Robert Ayers, before he got hurt, he was on the path to having about a 10-sack season. He'll be back. Demontre Moore wound up finishing with 5.5. You know, they have pieces here that could get to the quarterback, and with a new defensive voice, a new defensive mindset, to assume that it's going to be a repeat of last season, I think that's really jumping to too quick of a conclusion. Let's see what happens with Spags being back and his new scheme and how he uses personnel. For all we know, the pass rush could pick up to where it was in the later stages of the season last year.
Let's hit some tweets as we continue to take your calls at 201-939-4513. This one in from at Big Blue Beckham. You guys mentioned JT Thomas, but what about Jonathan Casillas? And we did touch on Casillas for a couple of minutes. He's a guy that played for the Patriots last year. He was a big factor on special teams, did a good job there. And, you know, he'll help his depth on the linebacker position, but he'll be a core special teamer that will really help you in 2015.
You need that versatility, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, the fact that he's played for Super Bowl-winning teams, he's a very good tackler on special teams, and he even got some starting experience last year at New England. If you look at his numbers closely, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, this is just a complimentary player. He was only with New England for 8 games, keep in mind, because he was traded midseason. He wound up getting 3 starts. He also appeared during the course of their Super Bowl run. So, you know, he's had experience as a linebacker. He's not just solely a special teams player. He's also a local guy. He's from Jersey City, so he has connections to the metropolitan area in terms of his transition, his comfort zone. I don't think that's going to be an issue for this team at all.
Again, our phone call. 201-939-4513. At Laughboy4, what is the status of the players who are injured, for example, Cruz, Beeson, and Prince? Are they recovering well? As far as I understand, everybody is on their timetable. Obviously, you're not going to know anything until you get there. because you got to wait till the guys get out there on the field. This, you know, in the middle of the rehabs, and we'll see how it goes as the season goes along.
Prince tweeted out that he's feeling good, so I would assume that everything is on pace for him. Everybody's been working out during the course of the offseason, and you know, once OTAs get up and going, we'll have a better idea who's ready to take part in football activities. A little too early to tell from that perspective. Also getting some more feedback about some of the offensive signings that the Giants brought in. At ABR127, Eli's going to love the screen pass to Vereen and as a dump-off. And then we now have a three-headed monster out of the backfield with Jennings, Williams, and Vereen. And I referenced this earlier in the show. When the Giants have had some success in the backfield, they have done a nice job working in three different running backs. And this could be very well a repeat of that. This is not the type of team in the last few seasons that has relied on one running back who's going to get 25 to 30 carries and everybody else is going to sit and watch from the sideline. If you can get a nice balance going, you also preserve these players for the duration of the season. You make sure everybody's healthy by the time you get to the 15th or the 16th game, just as they were in good shape in game one and game two. You can never have enough depth at any position in the National Football League. And Vereen could provide insurance for Jennings. Jennings could provide insurance for Vereen. And when you have a number of players out of the backfield that could catch the football, you know, that's another strong asset. Andre Williams coming in when he was drafted last season, he was barely used as a wide receiver at Boston College. However, with that being said, John, he was a pleasant surprise. I think they did a nice job to get him involved in the receiving game, but now you're bringing in a true proven receiver in Shane Vereen on top of what Jennings brings to the table and the slow development of Williams to improve with his receiving skill set. If you have three guys who can catch the ball in the backfield, who can pass protect, you then can make it a headache for the opposition. Because who's to say that you need Vereen to only come in on third down? Who's to say that Williams only has to play first and second down? I think the more versatility, the more comfort that all of these players have on respective downs, you can mix and match all you want during the course of the season.
Let's go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Zane is in Philadelphia. Zane, you're up next. What's going on, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
Zane, do me a favor and turn the volume down on your computer for me. Just listen through your phone.
Schmelk loves to hear the voice himself, but I he'd prefer to hear you.
Thanks, bud. Go ahead.
All right, I got you. Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to call and comment and get your opinion on pretty much the Vantrell role. The Vantrell role for the money that that Chicago gave him. You think we can get a safety that – at his caliber or better for that money?
I think you'll get I think you'll get a safety that's younger. I think you'll get a safety that can play as well as he did last year. Yes.
For less money or the same money?
I think it'll be for similar money. I think maybe a little bit less. Are you going to get a guy that maybe played as well as Roll did in his best year for the Giants when he was in his prime at 28, 29 years old? Maybe not. But I think you'll get a better player than you. I think you'll get as good of a player as you got the way Roll played last year. Let me put it that way.
Okay. That was a hurt piece seeing him go. I mean, I really wanted him to stay, and I was wondering. I was just thinking, it seemed like Giants maybe could have matched that and tried to keep him here. You know, just for the leadership and I guess and for his playing ability, but. You know, that was hard watching him leave, but
well, and in terms
I
of
wish him the best.
In terms of the finances, as you were alluding to, you know, keep in mind there's a number of guys, Zane, that are still out there on the market. It's not as if there's just one or two safeties that could come in and contribute immediately. I'm looking over some of the names, and we've gotten some tweets in on this, so I hope this addresses some of your other questions that you've been sending in, as John and I have been monitoring the tweets. You have Nate Allen, who still has out there. He was with the Philadelphia Eagles last season, and we'll let you continue, Zane. I didn't mean to cut you off. We also have got out there on the market Raheem Moore, who is with the Denver Broncos.
I just saw one tweet saying that Raheem Moore is being reported to sign with the Texans, which I have not seen. I'm going to look that up right now.
Interesting. So he may be off the market, but as of right now, it appears he's still at least out there. Thomas Dekun, who is with the Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. He's another veteran guy that is still out on the market. Also, Jerron Johnson, who was a backup safety with the Seattle Seahawks behind Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, he is out there as well. And he's a young guy who's 26 years old. So I think you have a nice mix between vets as well as young up-and-coming prospects that are still out on the market.
Okay. I mean, Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him get a reliable safety back there because it's like what y'all alluded to earlier. You have to have that safety to play that center field to help with that defense. And I want to ask another, that tackle they just picked up, I guess he recently played with Green Bay. I was looking on the computer earlier.
Correct.
They showed him playing with Green Bay. Do you think he's like a guy that could start the fight for a starting spot, or they basically just got him for depth?
Well, he's had plenty of starting experience, Zane, to answer your question. I have the numbers right in front of me here. Marshall Newhouse, you're referring to, he's 26 years old. He was the Packers' fifth-round pick in 2010 out of TCU because he actually played college ball with Andy Dalton. He spent the first four seasons with the Packers. He had 31 total starts during the course of his four seasons in 47 games. He started 13 games in 2011 at left tackle, and he played all 16 games at left tackle in 2012. So for two full seasons, he was essentially the starter. He could very well come in here and compete for a starting job. I don't say that you have him come in and he's strictly all of a sudden a backup. He'll be very much in the mix as competition. How it all ends up, you know, that remains to be seen. We've got a long OTA period. We have a long training camp, but this is a player that has starting experience. He's not just one of those guys that has been a backup or a journeyman during the course of his career.
And very quickly, John McClain, not the John McClain from Die Hard, but the John McClain that covers the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle and has worked there for 35 years. Very good NFL guy. He says that the Texans are closing in on a contract with Moore. So nothing dumb, but apparently they are getting close.
That's a nice pickup for them. They had one of the best defenses last season. Very opportunistic.
Go ahead, Zane.
Okay, that's pretty much what I want. And it's going on about the Giants pass rush. I think we'd be pretty good there. We had some nice outside rushes. I just think we get a nice solid another defensive tackle to go along with Hankins and be a plugger in there. I think we should be pretty good, especially with Spags being back and the way he runs things.
Thanks, Ed.
We're looking pretty good, and I'm excited for the season coming up.
Appreciate it, bud. Take it easy. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Max in Union City on line three next. Max, what's going on, pal?
Nothing much. Thank you for having me on the air.
Thanks for calling in, Max. What's up?
Another. I just want to comment a little bit, see what your thoughts was from a leadership standpoint on the defense. Now that we lost Roe, we know he was a vocal leader. His performance might have been not as good as it was previously, but just having the vocal leader, the person who can mentor our two safeties that are currently on the roster, we're saying that they could be good, but they don't have the experience. Do you think we could get someone else, or if there's someone currently on our roster that could provide that kind of leadership role that we lost with Roe going to Chicago?
Well, are you talking about at the safety position, or are you talking in generic terms just to have a veteran leader?
Basically with safety, because I think right now we only have an unproven talent at safety. To give you an example, I think one of the problems we had after the 07 Super Bowl was a lack of leadership would have been with Michael Strahan. And when he retired, and I can't remember exactly when we lost Antonio Pierce. But to me, the defense lost a little bit of their identity after that. They were still good, but I don't think they were as good after we lost them.
Well, Max, I'll say this. I do think it's important, and the Giants even had this when they won the Super Bowl in 2007, and James Butler, a player that maybe not terribly physically gifted, was an excellent thinker back there and knew the defense and helped Steve Spagnuolo set up his defense in the secondary. I do think it's important to find a veteran safety to play that type of role here with the Giants this upcoming season. So I think it's something they'll try to do, and it's something they will try to figure out as they move forward in this offseason. As for leadership on the defensive side of the ball, I know fans probably won't believe this, but I think Jason Pierre-Paul has developed into a leader on the defensive line. Is he Justin Tucker or Michael Strahan yet? No, he's not, but I think he's improving and he's getting there. I think John Beeson, when he's on the field, is an excellent leader at the linebacker position. I think it's hard for corners because just where they are positioned on the field to really be leaders on the field in the secondary. I think you need a safety back there to do that. So they will have to find somebody to replace Roll. And look, nobody wanted to see Antrell Roll leave. Coach Coughlin would have wanted him back. Giants fans wanted him back. Everyone here loves him. He's a good guy. He's a good leader. He's a good player. Everyone would have wanted to have him back. But sometimes the NFL is more about economics than it is about what's going on the field, and that's really what happened in this situation.
And, Max, to piggyback off of John's example of James Butler, another player that comes to mind fitting in that mold and what he provided for the Giants, didn't play the same position, Chase Blackburn. A very intellectual player, not necessarily the most gifted from a physical, talented standpoint, but what he provided behind the scenes and how he saw the field, you could not necessarily put a financial value on that. So, you know, your point is well taken. You always need that type of player on this roster. Who knows? They could bring in somebody outside, but don't overlook some of the players that are currently on the roster. You know, sometimes what happens, a lot of players look to Antrell Roll as the leader, and they took a step back. They didn't want to necessarily get in his way, but they learned, they observed. For all we know, John, there could be another guy that emerges this season because he realizes, hey, Antrell Roll's not here anymore. I now need to step up. I now need to be more of that vocal leader, not just necessarily a guy that's going to go out for the physical hard hits, but be a strong guy that the coaching staff could lean on in the classroom.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate the call. All right, guys, we're going to give you a bonus half hour here. We'll go to 1:30. We'll continue to take your calls. We'll go through your tweets as well. I know I see them streaming in as well. So stay on the lines at 201-939-4513.
We should mention this extra half hour is for our special caller, Mike, yesterday, who led off the show. Because, you know, we wanted to make sure that we accommodated him. We both wore our Rolexes today in honor of him as well. Just wanted to make sure. So we figure we're appeasing to the fan base. We'll give you an extra 30 minutes. So, Mike, I hope you're watching. I hope you're listening. Can't wait for your feedback.
And he also motivated me to make a dentist appointment.
There you go. See, so, I may have, you know, put it to the side a little. John reacted a little bit quicker than I am, but I think I'm due a checkup as well.
Let's go to Frank in Tampa next. Frank, what's going on, pal?
Guys, good morning.
Hi, Frank.
How are we doing, Frank?
I'm glad you got that extra half hour because that's how much time exactly it'll take me to rip these signings apart.
Well, so. Frank, you don't have a half hour. You got about 90 seconds, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me start with, guys, you've been talking all morning about depth. Correct me if I'm wrong, but how do you have depth before you have starters? It makes no sense to me.
Well, you know what? Hold on a second. JT Thomas, I think, can start for you this year. I think there's a good chance he's going to be one of your starting linebackers.
Oh,
Dwayne Harris is a virtual starter as a return man. And Vereen is basically a 1B type of running back. He's going to play half the snaps in a game.
Okay, Vereen, I'm taking outside because he's, you know, a third down back is almost like a starter.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you can't win in this league signing other teams' casts off. You sure as heck can't win signing cast offs that didn't even start.
Dwayne Harris isn't a cast off, though, Frank. The Cowboys are annoyed that they lost Dwayne Harris. They wanted him back. He was a big part of their team last year.
Those aren't position players. You take those out of the equation. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the rest. We still now look where we are right now. Okay, we still have no safety. We have no offensive lineman. We have no linebacker. Let's go to tight end. Last year, all
we signed two linebackers.
About tight end.
What's wrong with the tight end spot?
Tight end.
What's wrong with the tight end spot, though?
Last year, all we could do is talk about we got to get the guy, we got to get the guy. We don't have anybody, and we got the exact same players, except one thing we found out, that Danelle can't block, and he never will be able to.
Well, Frank, but there hasn't been one really big, besides Julius Thomas, you weren't going to bring here anyway. What other tight ends have gone off the market that you really wanted to target?
I didn't. That's the problem, and that's my whole point. I tried to make this a couple of weeks ago, and you guys said to call back, but I did, and then I got Paulie Dottino, who just cuts me off with his opinion. But as far – there's no planning ahead. Well, look where we are. We're in a year where we need a safety, a linebacker, tight end, offensive lineman. We've got none of those, and now we're looking at the draft. God forbid we go to the draft with a gun to our head, and we have to take that Sheriff kid, assuming he's
Frank,
there.
Frank, just for a second, I want you to take a deep breath, because the Giants are not alone in this. I mean, first of all, there's still a month and change until you get to the draft, so there's plenty of time to address a lot of these needs. And I just want to put you in perspective a little bit here, okay? You're the Philadelphia Eagles. Who are your starting wide receivers next year? Who's your third wide receiver next year? You're the Dallas Cowboys. Who are your starting linebackers? They've already lost Bruce Carter. They lost Justin Durant. Rolando McClain's still a free agent. They don't have one linebacker besides the last year's fourth-round pick or fifth-round pick, whatever he was, Anthony Hitchens, as a starting linebacker. They don't have a starting running back.
I don't want to have a pennant in my room that, you know, says, you know, 7-9 and says, but everybody else stinks. That's not what we're going for.
No, but Frank, you know? The point is that every NFL team right now still has holes.
Especially within the division.
There's not one NFL team anywhere in this league that says we have a complete roster and we're good. It doesn't exist. It's not out there.
No, I understand that. But offensive line, how could we be any more desperate to finally put one together? And let me say something, guys. Please, I have so many things going through my head. But even Vereen, okay, first of all, everybody, you know, has tried to compare him, you know, to Dave Meggett. I mean, Meggett is a completely different player. If you watch Meggett, that guy, third and 11, he'd get hit at 3rd and 8 and drag guys for 4 yards. 3rd and 7, he'd get hit for 5. Vereen, go back and look at his stats. This guy goes down faster than a $10 hooker. I mean, he's not good after
Frank, how do we know how the Giants are going to utilize him in their system?
And Frank,
you know, you're making big-time assumptions.
And Frank, hold on 1 second, Frank. Shane Vereen's not a power back. He can make guys miss in space. I mean, he caught balls in space in that Super Bowl and ran after the catch for first downs against the best defense in football all over the place.
Okay, but I want one thing. I want you guys to please, as you go through this
season,
watch this, okay? Go back and watch Vereen, okay? Watch the Super Bowl. Watch everything, okay? You will watch a team so drilled in the art of running a screen pass, and then you see Brady hitting him right in the hands or looping it over the top where he can run. Even when we had a good offensive line, you guys have heard me say this so many times, whether it's the coaching, whether it's the line, whether it's Eli, we cannot run a screen pass. The best guy in the world, if the ball's hitting him in the foot or he has to jump for it, is not going to gain you the 11 yards that you need on 3rd and 11. And now look at this. Not only do we have a guy who's used to getting hit in the hands, not having to jump for it or go down for it, but we have a line that we don't even have a line. We're signing depth to a line we don't have. Let's look at our line. Give me 10 seconds. We got a left tackle. We got no idea what we're going to get. He's so inconsistent.
Yeah,
One thing we know, though, he can't run block, right? We got a center who's never played a down at center, and to me, he's undersized. We got a right guard, never played there with the Giants. We don't even know if he can stay on the field. Look, guys are retiring left and right because of foot injuries. We got an adequate right tackle.
Oh, Frank.
Talk about a Debbie Downer today.
You know, and Frank, you're in Tampa. The weather's nice down there. I feel like you've been living in Boston for the past 2 months. Brighten up, man. Holy cow.
Guys, but think about it, though. We have no left guard, and the season is starting.
What do you mean you don't have a left guard? Jeff Schwartz is under contract.
I think Frank is going to be playing right guard.
But once again, I mean, that's a game of speculation. We could sit here all day and play the game of
Frank,
musical
chairs. Where are we going to get
our fifth lineman from?
Well, how about free agency or the draft? You still got a month and a half of free agency. There's a lot of guys still out there, Frank.
There's nobody left. And, guys, tell me this, too. And I know I've been throwing a lot out there, but, you know, Hurts, like, God love him. It's a wonderful story. But this isn't 1990. You can't afford a Renee Thompson or a Steve Tasker anymore.
Why not?
You know, he can't play linebacker. You can't have a full-time special team guy unless he's snapping the ball for you. You get a sixth-round draft pick at the rookie minimum to do that. Why do you need – he can't play linebacker in this league, guys. These decisions don't make sense to me.
Thank you, Frank.
You don't have – okay.
Have a good one, my friend. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, the one thing that
– I actually gave Frank like 4 minutes. Yeah, I was very generous.
Well, I was going to ask him another question, but I don't blame you for necessarily letting him
recuperate. Well, we got a lot of calls.
Right,
I want to get people in.
He didn't name anybody on the market that he wanted the Giants to go after. You know, you say the Giants don't have an offensive line. All right, name me a guy. Brian Bulaga, to give you an example, arguably the best offensive line on the market. The Packers, they didn't even let him pick up the phone to call anybody. They said, we're keeping him.
He actually took a discount to go there.
Did.
He would have gotten more on the open market.
Randall Cobb did the same thing.
Yes,
and they also retained Randall Cobb. They retained two of their most prized possessions in terms of the market. But I haven't seen a great deal of movement, John. That's the point I'm bringing up on the offensive line, where there have been a number of guys that have changed teams and a number of difference makers that have all of a sudden shook up the balance of power within any division. So I think you need to also keep that in mind.
And it's not like nobody's left here, guys. There are guys guys that go in the second or third week in free agency that help your team a lot of the time. It happens all the time. So don't panic yet. The moves aren't done. You still have free agents, and you still have the draft. There could be a trade. A lot of things can still happen here, guys, and I'm telling you. You feel bad as a Giant fan right now scrambling around. There are other teams in the division that are freaking out a lot more than you are. I mean, the Eagles have holes all over the place. The Cowboys now have holes all over the place. So relax. There's still a lot of work to be done. It's not like Jerry Reese has his feet up at his desk upstairs and is saying, ah, I get to relax for the next month and a half until the draft. That's not what's happening. He's working his butt off on the phone.
Busiest time of the year.
Trying to bring people in. 201-939-4513. George from St. Anne has been waiting patiently. George, what's going on, pal?
Hi. Well, I'm optimistic. I'm not like everybody else. I believe that we could do certain things. Of course, Antrell Roe leaving, you know, that made me sad. Now I can't even play use him in Madden, you know. But I think that we're going to fill up that void. As you guys were mentioning more, I didn't know about that thing about the Texans, but hopefully he doesn't sign. But the player that I want most is Ron Parker. I feel like he's still young. He did great things with that Andy Reid defense, and I feel like Steve Spagnuolo will use him a lot in the schemes of things.
And Parker's in the name that has been mentioned by a lot of people for a lot of teams, and he was supposed to visit the Bears yesterday. I'm not sure if they're going to bring in Roll and Parker. I'm not sure they're going to bring in two free agent safeties. We'll see if that's something
that
they
even consider. Well, they have Ryan Mundy, the former Giant, under contract as well.
Who's generally more of a depth guy, not a guy you want starting for you. So, look, Parker is one of those free agents that are still out there. Whether or not, you know, he winds up here, we'll see. But I think he fits the profile in terms of experience, age, athletic ability, of the type of player the Giants like to bring here, just by judging who they brought in already this offseason. All guys between 25 and 28 that are in their prime years, and you're like, you know what, these guys still have their best years ahead of them.
Yeah, of course. And then if we don't get Parker, I heard we were this talks about Schwartz, Darren Schwartz from the Ravens. You know, he's also a good safety. I feel like even though Roe left, we still, you know, if Beeson could stay healthy the whole year, 2 years ago he showed he has that leadership motivation. So I feel like we're not that far off. We just still need maybe, you know, some mid-level DNs that could just come in. And if we get Parker or Schwartz, I'm happy with that. You know, I'm fine. I could see, you know, Spagnuolo, he hasn't had the pieces, the great pieces in the past, but he knows how to put them all together and work as one, you know? So, you know, I'm very optimistic, so I'm just hoping for the best. Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Just to get back to this offensive line topic that Frank alluded to a few callers back, I've brought up the offensive linemen who have been taken off the market, and the Giants are included in that group. They just signed Marshall Newhouse. You had Clint Bowling stay with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's one of their top offensive linemen.
But again,
he re-signed.
Big money.
Correct, big money. But he stayed. He didn't even go anywhere. We mentioned the fact that Brian Bulaga stayed with the Green Bay Packers. In terms of movement, you had Mike Iupati from the Niners. He went to the Cardinals. He stayed within the division. Big money. Signed a 5-year deal, reportedly in that $40 million range. Orlando Franklin, the guard from the Denver Broncos, also stayed within the division. He went to San Diego. 5-year deal. Big money in that $35 million range, reportedly. Jeremy Parnell, who was with the Cowboys, he was a backup tackle. He went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was a backup, though. He was not a starter for Dallas this season. James Carpenter just signed with the Jets, a veteran guard. Guy who has seen better days earlier in his
career.
But
again,
career.
That's a 4 years, 19
still
million.
Still a lot of money, yeah.
$7.5 million guaranteed.
So it's not as if there's bargains out there for starting offensive linemen.
Not the first few days of free agency, there aren't.
And that's the point that we're just trying to get across, to at least put it in perspective to what maybe the Giants are looking for and the challenges that they're finding in terms of the market that's being
set. And remember, if you're trying to get a guard, you don't have to draft. If you want a starting guard, you don't have to draft one in the first round.
No, you could get one in the second. Look, they drafted Weston Richburg, who could play center and guard. He was a second-round pick.
Precisely. Absolutely right. 201-939-4513. We'll keep an eye on Twitter as well. As we go to 1:30, 15 more minutes to play with. Let's go to Patrick in Washington. Patrick, you're up next.
Hey, John. Hey, Lance. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for calling in, pal.
Yeah. I was just wondering about have – Have we been talking to any defensive tackles? I know we got Hankins. I know we have, I think Mike Patterson, is he a free agent?
Patterson is a free agent, yes.
All right. I know we still have Collins and Bromley. Is there anybody that we've been, that the Giants are possibly looking at to bring in for a bit of depth?
I have not seen any reports about that, to be honest with you. A big name that's out there that I know Paul DeTino has mentioned is Vince Wolfirk, who is a very big plugger. And Paul compared him to Sean Rogers when the Giants brought Sean Rogers in a couple years ago, that big veteran guy that can play on first and second down, play 20 or 25 snaps a game, and help you stop the run. But I have not seen any reports with any defensive tackles really connected much to the Giants. But I will say this. I know stopping the run is a big focus of the Giants this offseason, so I would not be surprised to see a new player, whether it's in the draft or in free agency, come to give some extra depth to that defensive tackle spot.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I saw the report earlier, or I got the notification from NFL saying that DeMarco Murray is planning on signing with the Eagles, so he is not leaving the division. Yay.
Well, at least he got him out of Dallas. And remember, Dallas was able to succeed last year because they ran the football well. And, again, maybe with that offensive line, they can plug somebody else in and they'll be fine. That's what they're counting on. That's why they didn't go over the top to give Murray all that money. But we'll see. I mean, they're going to have to find somebody. I mean, I don't know who that somebody is going to be because the free agent market, unless they like Justin Forsett, isn't, you know, great right now. So they're going to have to figure that out.
30 years old, too.
Well, in fairness, though, Forsett was not a starter before coming to Baltimore.
Right.
He was a backup.
So he should have fresh legs.
He has fresh legs. And he rejuvenated his career last season because Baltimore addressed its offensive line. So maybe they look at him as, okay, he's a guy playing in front of a good offensive line, could all of a sudden thrive.
And Ryan Matthews, by the way, is always hurt. If I'm the Cowboys, I would invest a ton of money in Ryan Matthews. The guy's never on the field for 16 games in a year.
So they may adjust it to the draft, maybe. I know that it's a deep running
There's
back.
There's a lot of depth,
year.
Honestly, if I was in the Cowboys' shoes, I would draft a running back, bring in a low-cost veteran to give you some, you know, safety and a safety net in free agency, and I would just draft a running back and roll the dice with that, to be honest with you.
Last thing, ideally, who would be your choice of a free agent signing defensive tackle?
You know what? I'm actually looking at the list on Pro Football Focus right now, and I don't want to speculate too much, but some of the highest-rated guys that are out there, Terrence Knighton, who I think is going to get a big contract somewhere. Yeah. Nick Fairley, I think, is going to get a big contract somewhere. You know, again, those are guys that are still in their 20s, though Knighton's 29. Fairley's just 27. They're going to get big money. Will Fork's 33. I could see him being a situational run stopper. You know, Tommy Kelly's the guy that's out there, but he's 34 years old, you know. There hasn't been a ton of action yet on the defensive line. C.J. Mosley, an inside defensive player for the Lions, is out there. But, again, he's 32. So I think you're looking at one of these guys that's going to come in here as a part-time defensive tackle. Maybe it will be one of these older guys in that Sean Rogers role that gives the Giants a little bit of help in that regard. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, Patrick, appreciate the call. I'm looking at the list too, John. Yeah, even a guy like Nick Hayden, who played with the Cowboys. I mean, sometimes you bring in some depth. He's a young guy still. He's not that old.
I'll tell you what, Pro Football Focus destroyed him in their
really?
Rankings.
Really? He didn't have as high of a ranking?
Nick Hayden last year, let me find it, on Pro Football Focus. Well, the Cowboys defense was nothing to write home about last year, let's be honest. But if I could find
They used
Nick
him
Hayden
a lot because Melton was hurt.
He is the worst defensive tackle
really?
On the free agent market, according to Pro Football Focus. A grade of negative 23.8.
Okay. Surprised. I'm surprised. I mean, he filled in pretty good considering Henry Melton was in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Kelly's a veteran guy out
yep.
there, too. I'm just looking at the list. I know John threw out a number of different names. Former Giant Barry Cofield.
Do you trust B.J. Raji to come back and be healthy after missing an entire year?
You know, there's always risk connected to that, especially when you bring in somebody who is coming off a season where they have had to deal with the injury bug. I mean, there's always that risk. I mean, I guess if the money makes sense, you'd be willing to take a chance, but you certainly don't want to designate a big portion of your cap to a player that may not be 100% healthy.
By the way, a couple calls ago, someone brought up a Raven safety that was Schwartz. If anybody help me out, am I lost here?
Yeah, the name did not ring any bells. I'll look up.
And after the call, I actually did some. I'm looking around. I'm like, I really don't think there's a Raven safety named Schwartz, and I cannot find one. So if somebody on Twitter can help me out with that, that'd be great. But I think he has either the name wrong or the team wrong with that potential free agent.
We'll look up the Ravens depth chart here. We'll try to find this mystery?
201-939-4513. I don't think the person exists. I did a lot of Google searches, and it all came up empty. Let's go to Gerald in Hackensack, New Jersey. Gerald, you're up next.
Hey, how you doing, Lance and John?
Doing well, Gerald. What's up, pal?
I just got out of work at 1 o'clock, and I just couldn't wait to call because some of these callers have been a little comical with their predictions on how the team should be. It's just kind of mind-blowing on how their predictions are. But I really like all the signings that we got in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So the biggest one for me, or the two biggest ones for me, is Shane Vereen and Dwayne Harris. We kind of struck out last year when we signed Holiday. He didn't really step on the field at all last year. So, I mean, just to get Dwayne Harris for special teams and possibly to be maybe a number three or four receiver, that's a big plus for the Giants because he's, been a pain in the butt, playing him against the Cowboys. So, picking him up and getting him on our team now on our side is it's going to be a big help for the offense. And with Shane Vereen, like everybody else has been saying, from what I've noticed what he has done over the years with Patriots, he's just a reliable receiver out of the backfield. I mean, he blocks really well. He can catch up from the backfield, and it's very it seems more like a three-headed monster in the backfield now, like we had in the past with our running backs in the past. So
absolutely.
It's just, I'm happy, but I mean, I just really wish the fans can understand, some of the things that they wish or, some of the things that they, kind of predict. You have to understand that this is a business at the end of the day. You can't like really just have all your eggs in one basket. You kind of got to do things a little bit more wisely. You got fill the holes you can, as you go along. And as you guys have been saying throughout the show, you still got the draft coming up. You can trade. It's a lot of things that can happen down the line. So, I mean, it seems like everybody's panicking about the picks that we got. And so far, and we didn't get to the draft yet. We didn't get to OTAs yet, none of that stuff yet. So, I mean, for one, I'm happy. I know most of the other fans, Giant fans, they're happy too. They like what's going on. And I think this is a really good, start, especially going into the new season. No, that's all I pretty much got. I'm just a happy fan right now.
All right, Gerald, thanks a lot. I think you've kind of mimicked a lot of what Lance and I have said during the show, so we'll simply say good call. Let's go to the next one. John will wrap us up, and then we'll do your tweets the rest of the 5 minutes or so before we wrap up at 1:30. John, what's up?
John,
hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, John. Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
I wanted to mention that one guy that called from Florida, I understand his frustration. I think he's over the top, obviously. But I think what fans are looking for is, the obvious areas of need are the two lines, the defensive line and the offensive line. And that's what fans are looking for. You're not going to be able to plug all those holes in the draft. And I think, part of the problem is the Giants, I think, tend to play things very tight to the vest, so you don't hear a lot of what they're working on or what they're doing. But
John, the thing about it is, and I tried my best in January and February to prepare fans for this. When everyone was calling up and they're like, well, how about this big name? How about that big name? How about this big name? I tried to let people know that based on what Jerry Reese said after the season, where we're not going to go nuts in free agency like we did last year. Remember, the Giants went bananas in free agency last year. They threw money around like a drunken sailor. Now they've had a lot of injuries and stuff, so some of those didn't work out. We'll see if they work out this year. The jury's still out on a lot of those moves. You weren't going to expect them to do the same thing this year. So I was trying to prep people to get ready for not getting a $40 million player, for not getting a $50 million player. And quite frankly, all the guys that have gone off the board, John, in the first few days have been big money guys. And I tried to get people ready for this emotionally, that they were not going to come home with a Franklin or a Bulaga. They simply cost too much money.
No, and I agree with you, John, but I think, when you see the Shane Vereen and Harris, those are obvious good picks. I think they were, especially Shane Vereen was a home run, I think. But instead of getting two no-name linebackers, the Saints are looking for an O lineman and a D lineman. I mean, you know, that's just one of, you know, I'm just echoing what other fans are saying.
Well, John, that could very well be addressed in the draft. I mean, look at last year's draft.
Or the next 3 weeks in free agency, for that matter.
But in the draft, they got a great deal of depth last season. So who's to say that they can't get more starters out of this coming draft class?
And
I
think
that could very well happen.
And I want to address this too, John, and I forgot to bring up this name when the caller called in about defensive tackles earlier. Jay Bromley's a guy that got drafted in the third round last year that the Giants are counting on to step in here and play a big role at defensive tackle this year. So when you talk about that defensive tackle rotation, Jay Bromley has to be in the conversation. The Giants really think he's going to be a good player, and he didn't play a ton as a rookie, but he got great experience, learned a lot about being a pro, and I think he's going to play a big role here on the defensive line. So if you look at it, their moves they made last year on the offensive line, it's almost like you're adding Jeff Schwartz this year. Because he didn't play last year because of the injury. So you're almost getting Jeff Schwartz now for nothing this year. Jay Bromley, a third-round pick. You work him in, you train him for a year. You're getting him this year when you didn't have him last year. So you are getting some additions in those two spots simply based on what the team did at this time of year in 2014.
Plus, a guy like Matt Burhey who could play a lot, too.
About those guys, they haven't been around for a year.
Well, look, I'm not saying there's no risk. Whenever you bring in a guy that hasn't been here before, there's a risk. But you've invested in these guys, in Jeff Schwartz's case with money, in Jay Bromley's case in a draft pick, and you have to give him a chance to succeed, and the Giants will do that this year.
Yeah, John, I agree.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, John.
Thanks so much for weighing in. You know, the other thing, when you say they haven't been here all year, Jeff Schwartz was rehabbing here. He was in the classroom.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was digesting the playbook. He understands Ben McAdoo's philosophies. Jay Bromley, while he didn't get a lot of playing time experience, also in the classroom, also practicing every day. Nat Burhey, if he's elevated into a larger role, also practiced every day, was in the classroom. So it's a little unfair to say these guys weren't here last season. They were here. We may not have just seen them every single snap on the field, but they were here. They were digesting. They were learning the principles of the offensive and defensive schemes. And, you know, that sometimes can be a huge asset as you enter year two and year three because you better understand the philosophies of what is taking place.
Oh, boy. Let's go through Twitter. Dave in Rochester is going to make me laugh. And, Dave, I'm not going to say that. First of all, I don't trust you. I actually pay up on that dare. But I'm not going there.
I got to read this because I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's funny.
Okay.
At NFJids, our big free agent signing is JPP, especially since we have a premier quarterback on our roster. Other teams that do not pay their quarterback big money have a much more bigger advantage. I think that's a good point. Charlie Dree. Let's see. At Big Show 88, if the Cowboys get Adrian Peterson, do you go defensive line in the first round? I don't think you base what you do in the draft off what another team does in free agency. I don't care who they bring in. You get the best player available. Our guys over at Big Blue Uncensored and at Core Custom, Darian Stewart's probably the guy he's referring to. I know he was a free agent Raven safety, but Schwartz and Stewart, I guess that's who he's referring to, so that's probably who it is. And he is one of those safeties under 30. Big Blue Beckham, these are some of the safeties under 30. Delmas at 28, Gilchrist 26. We mentioned Stewart, Jaron Johnson at 26. Taylor Mays 27, but he's had some issues. Mike Farmer's mad at me again. Please don't give the Cowboys any ideas in regards to their running backs. Pierre from Dallas is probably listening in. LOL, spies are everywhere. Let's see, what else do we got here? I've heard it from Charlie in Portland, actually, since free agency began. I'm not sure if he's like...
That may be a good thing, actually.
He might be huddling in his basement preparing his 2015 prediction. Which, by the way, it's a little
actually,
sickening.
Actually, he teased that on Twitter. He is.
I know,
he's building
I
know. It up. We'll eventually
hear. Well, right. After he actually, you know, got last year's right, he's a little cocky.
He's on cloud nine. That's why he wants to use as much time during the course of the offseason to see what he can come up with this year.
Sonny Boy, do you think that window was closed on us 4 years ago and we were in rebuilding mode? I don't think rebuilding is the right word, but look, just look at the roster. Now, compared to what it was in 2011, there's been a lot of turnover. So it's a very different team, but I would not call it a rebuilding year. See any other tweets you want to get to, Lance? Those are some of the ones I've got.
Vic actually had a tweet. I know you said you didn't want to read Dave's tweet, and I have yet to see it, so I'm still searching for it. But Vic had one that I think is PG-13 enough that we can read to the audience.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm trying to find the one. It was actually some breaking news because there were a lot of trades that took place over the course of the last few days. We have one that is related to the Giants personnel. So Vic is announcing that Paul DeTino has been traded to an unnamed team, and this is what we are getting in return for Paul DeTino. This is a really nice package here. Some used Nikes, a half-used bottle of Old Spice.
Now, is it Paul Dottino's use Nikes or somebody else's use Nikes?
He has to clarify. Vic, okay. If you're listening or watching, you're going to have to clarify this because John always wants to have a whole dissertation about a lousy tweet. Anyway, and some 8-tracks.
So Paul definitely has 8-tracks. Maybe Paul has some fax machines he could send over to. Maybe one of those old Xerox machines.
A VCR, too,
yeah.
Maybe. You know,
sure.
I mean, we know he likes that old school type of stuff. The rewind button, the fast forward button. He's all into that.
Now, sadly, I think laser discs were probably too advanced for Paul. I think those are probably past his prime.
Yes. I think you're trying to doll it up a little too much. He's an old schooler. The VCR, the legal pads.
Black and white TV.
Correct. There you go.
Yeah. Transistor radio, perhaps.
Absolutely. Leave it to Paul. I'm sure he is very old school in terms of his philosophy.
And everyone loved Frank's one-liner, by the way.
There's a lot of reaction to that.
It was funny. I laughed.
Callers are creative. We have to give them their due.
Sorry, Dave. I'm still not going there. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time. A lot of fun. Tomorrow, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino will be with you. I might pop in for a second as well. Maybe we'll do a little three-man booth there. We'll see how it goes. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Free agency continues. Stay tuned to Giants.com for all the latest news on our very special free agency page. Make sure you check that out, and we'll continue to update it as the offseason goes along. Also, I did interviews with 4 out of the 5 Giants signees. You can go to Giants.com, check those out, get to meet and know the newest members of the New York Giants. I think you'll like what you'll see. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on the punt? Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, John!